Proverbs chapter 13, verses 16 through 20. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, many of these thoughts and verses, parts of verses, many of these things that'll be that we look at here in this passage today are things we've looked at before, dealt with before. Now, remember, repetition is a key to learning. There are other ways to learn, but repetition, one of the main keys to learning. And we're again reminded that if the Lord says it once, it's important, but when he says it more than once, then he means for us to pay attention and to learn it and to know it and to be aware of it. He wants us to be wise. He loves us and cares for us. He wants us to make the right decisions and the right choices. And I talk to folks all the time that some folks are more fatalistic than others. You know, they think, some folks think, God created the world and he set this thing in motion, and whatever will be, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, that's not all true. There is some things we can do about things, because God has given us a free will and he's given us the ability to ask for his help and to allow him to be part of our lives, and he's also allowing us to get in on what he's up to. He's allowing us to have a part in his work. So it's great. It's wonderful. It's the best of everything, because we can be a part of that which is eternal, and that's exciting. Don't be fatalistic. Don't think, well, I can't make a difference, or I can't, you know, whoever's going to be saved will be saved. We have a part in sharing the message. All kinds of information and examples in the scripture that we can have a part in sharing the truth of God's word, and God uses that. We spread the gospel, give the gospel to every person, every creature. And so God has allowed us to do that. This, he's given us the privilege of being in on what he's up to. So as we are reminded here that we can make a difference in our lives and the lives of other people. Sometimes we're not talking about arm twisting. We're talking about influence. And it talks about that here in this passage we're looking at today. So let's get started here with verse 16 of chapter 13. Every prudent man, the word prudent means wise, but especially in a quiet way. In a quiet way. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. That's what he works with, but a fool layeth open his folly. Have you ever heard someone say that ignorance is bliss? Well, that's not always true, if at all. It's always best to know. And the Lord says that we have a responsibility to know, doesn't he? He says that we have a responsibility to know, and he desires to give us knowledge. He desires to help us to know what his will is for our life, and what is right and what is wrong. That's knowledge. The prudent person, the wise man, dealeth with knowledge. That's what he works. And where does this knowledge come from? Does it come from ourselves? No. It comes from the Lord. And it does come from others. God does use others to help us with knowledge. And we'll see that also in this passage. In Proverbs chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. This word conceal means possesses. It's in his heart. It's in his life. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. So you see the contrast here in verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. The example that we've shared about shared, or the truth that we've shared, that wisdom is not that as visual as foolishness is. Foolishness is very visual. It's very, it manifests itself and you can recognize, very recognizable. Wisdom, not always so, because wisdom and humility go together. Pride and foolishness go together. And when pride and foolishness are practiced, they will be noticed. They will be seen because it kind of, it becomes visual, you know. People find out. Your sin will find you out. Yes, your foolishness will find you out too. It's like my mom said, let folks think you're a fool. Keep your mouth shut and let folks think you're a fool, or open it and remove all doubt. Because if we're foolish, we'll say so. It'll come out. It will reveal itself. Well, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Isn't it amazing how practical and true and clear the Word of God is? It doesn't pull any punches. It says it the way it is. And as we've said before, that's one way we know it's inspired. Because man wouldn't write these things about man if man was the one doing it. Because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, some of the things that men do and have done. And man wouldn't write it if he could, and couldn't write it if he would. So here we see in this passage, verse 16, every prudent man dealeth with, there's knowledge there, and it comes from God. It's the wisdom and the instruction that we ask for from the Lord. Have you ever had a situation where you didn't know what to do? You were faced with a decision you had to make. It may have been input, may have been job-wise. It may have been something, buying a house. It may have been doing something big where you didn't want to mess up. I mean, because there are ramifications. And it could have been years. Did you know, and I'm looking back in my life, and I think, you know, if I had made one decision different in my life, if I had not joined a church that I felt the Lord was leading me to join, there's no telling what where else I would have been or what I would have done. I don't know. I can't really speculate. But I'm thankful for making the right choice because God helped me to. He told me. He gave me peace. He gave me guidance. He gave me direction. And it was because I asked Him to. We asked Him to. We asked Him for leadership. We asked Him for guidance and what to do. And God knows my heart. I cannot remember a time that I've ever asked for His help that He didn't give it in some way. Now, He didn't always give it right then. It might have been a little bit down the road. Some time might pass. But He always gave it. And usually He did it in a way whereby I didn't expect. He has a way of doing that, doesn't He? And so it's so important that we, as God's people, ask God for wisdom and direction, for instruction, for the knowledge of what to do. And that way we will not make a foolish decision. We'll not do that which we have to, where we'll reap that which we wish we hadn't have sown. Now if you would look at verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. This messenger, and the word messenger and the word ambassador here begin are talking about the same type of person, or one that is being sent to deliver a message. An ambassador of our country is one that communicates. Say it's an ambassador from this country going to another country. They communicate what this country is saying. They're the communicators. We are ambassadors for the Lord, aren't we? The Bible tells us that clearly. I'll share the verse with you here in just a moment. But it's so important that we, as God's people, deliver the right message. Because there's a lot of confusion out there, isn't there? Yeah. If you asked any person on the street or at the store, what would you do? Well, how does a person go to heaven when they die? What kind of answers are you going to come up with? Well, keep the Ten Commandments. Go to church, baptized, communion, all these good works. You'll hear almost everything. Very rarely will you say, by the blood of the Lord. I'm trusting in the blood. I'm trusting in what? In the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to take me to heaven when I die. Very rarely are you going to hear that. And the reason is because folks have been heard everything, and they're confused. You can turn your television on, your radio on, you can hear everything. I was talking to a funeral director not long ago, and I said, "You've probably heard everything, haven't you?" And they said, and they were glad they were grounded in the truth, because they heard every kind of message under the sun about how to get to heaven when you die, because there's confusion. And same on television and publications and bookstores, be careful. Here's how you find out right here. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we have the source of eternal life right here in the pages of God's Word? Most certainly. Well, verse 17 says, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief." I've read stories, and we've talked about this a little bit in previous verses, passages. Can you imagine if you were, say, during the Civil War, is what comes to my mind, because telecommunications have changed a lot since then. But say during the Civil War, basically all you had, they had their pocket watches, and they sent a messenger to say, "Okay, at 3 o'clock we're going in. We're attacking, or we're whatever we're doing, you send the messenger to the rest of your army." And if that messenger, say, they were going down the way and they came by a nice swimming hole, think, "Man, that looks so nice, I think I'll go for a swim." And they fail to deliver the message, or they're late delivering the message, what could happen? Well, you know, one of the verses, let me give you some of the verses that we've dealt with. It was back in chapter 10, verse 26 of Proverbs. "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." You know what a sluggard is, don't you? Yeah, a sluggard, one that can barely move. One that does not do what they are told to do or need to do or supposed to do. "As vinegar to the teeth," "as smoke to the eyes," that hurts. "So is a sluggard to them that send them." Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 6 says, "He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage." That's bad, isn't it? And, you know, we're talking Bible days. They didn't have cell phones to call the person that they need. They, in many times, had to send a messenger. They had to send a messenger. What if the messenger didn't deliver the message? Can you imagine how difficult and destructive that could be? And so here in this verse, verse 17, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief." Well, they're not. The reason they fall into mischief is because they're not interested in doing what they've been told. Because they're wicked. They're selfish. They want to do what they want to do. I don't want to do that. I think I'm going to do something fun. I think I'm going to do something different. What about the message that the Lord has given us to deliver? Let's think about that. Here's a couple of other verses. It says in Proverbs chapter 25 in verses 13 and verse 23, the same chapter, it says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. So he refresheth the soul of his masters. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue." Oh, what about the servant that says, "I don't think I want to do that. You know, I'm very good at doing other things. I'm very good at milking cows. I'm very good at doing other things, putting up hay. But I don't want to go across the hill and deliver this message." But the message needs to be told, and somebody has to do it. What if we don't really like... And here's what I'm about to say. There's times when it's not convenient to serve the Lord. Do you know what I mean by that? It means it might take some work. It might take some effort. It's never been convenient to go to church on Sunday morning. I mean, the alarm goes off, or you set the alarm, and you say, "Well, you know, I really don't feel good this morning. I don't ever feel good in the morning anymore." I don't. I'm to be honest with you, I don't. And many of you could say the same thing. You remember those days when you did? We very rarely feel like coming to church, but we do. Why? Because we don't serve God out of convenience. We serve Him out of conviction. There's a difference, isn't there? Out of conviction. Because we know it's right. And we're doing it because we love the Lord. Well, not to be saved, but because we are saved. We're an ambassador of the Lord. In verse 17 says, but a faithful ambassador is health. Why? Because they have done what they were supposed to do. Now, I mentioned last week, you know, that the fact that God, I believe there's ways that God gets the gospel to people. One way is this missionary that's here today getting the gospel to someone there or many there in that country that needs to hear the truth. They need to hear it. And there's some there that's interested in the truth, that want to hear it. There's others that don't want to hear it. But do we say, well, I don't know if there's anybody interested over there or not? If God says go, what do? You go. If this missionary or any other missionary only goes because they've got a burden for the people that are there, that burden might go away. Because there might not be a lot of people who are actually interested in them or are glad they're there. But if God says go, if God says this is where I'm putting you, and God calls them and sends them, then they can weather almost anything because they know in their heart that God put them there. Even though the people may not be as welcoming and acceptive as they thought that they would, they're going to be a faithful ambassador, you see. And we are the same thing. We have an opportunity where God has put us to be a faithful ambassador for Christ. Here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. The Apostle Paul says we're ambassadors of the Lord. We represent Him. We're here for the King. And so are we. We're ambassadors of the Lord in our life and in our witness. You know, there was a, I don't know if it was a fad or if it was something that was going on a few years ago, how that we win people to the Lord by our lifestyle. Now, believe me, I understand that our lifestyle must back up what we witness or what we say. And we should practice what we preach, most certainly. But when a witness gets on a witness stand in a courtroom situation, do they witness by just sitting up there looking pretty? No. They have to give account of what they have seen and what they have heard. That's a witness. And that's what we do, don't we? We just simply tell people what we've experienced, how the Lord saved us. You say, well, I don't know how to witness to folks. Well, you just tell them how you got saved. Tell them how the Lord spoke to your heart. Show them the verse that touched your heart with John 3:16. That's the verse that touched my heart. You can share those things. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now, if you would look at verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Again, that truth is repeated, and we've looked at it several other times. And here we find that we're looking at, again, by the way, even if we just back up a few verses, look at verse 13 of this same chapter. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. That goes along with verse 18, doesn't it? Poverty and shame to be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now, I think in generalities we could talk about in any part of life. And we've talked about that. You know, growing up, you know, when you were a kid, there were times when you were more receptive to instruction than at other times. Did you know you had teachers that you listened to more than other teachers? I did. And if I liked a teacher, then I listened to them. If I didn't like them, I didn't listen to them. That was foolish on my part because my teachers were trying to help me, even though I may not like them, even though they may not like, they may not have let me misbehave. I had a second grade teacher that I didn't struggle with mathematics. I just was not interested in it. There was a time that, I don't know what happened, but it's like flipping a switch. I got interested in it. And I went from making bad grades in math to making good grades in math. I don't remember what it was, but I do remember this. I do remember I was sitting there doing my work one day, and my second grade teacher came back to my desk, and she had a paddle. You know, how many of you know what a paddle is? Okay. I'll show you a picture while I look one up and on my phone and show you if you don't know what a paddle is. She pulled me out of that desk and she wore me out. And I was sitting there doing my work. The kid in front of me, David Trotter, he was acting up, making racket. She thought it was me. And I'd never done that. That broke my heart. It hurt my feelings. It hurt me other places too. But it really hurt my feelings. And I didn't like her anymore for a while. I didn't pay any attention to her. But I started doing better in math, and she started paying more attention to what I was doing. And she really connected. We bonded somehow, even after that. I forgave her. I don't remember ever telling her that. I think I told her while she was paddling me. I'm innocent. I didn't do anything. I don't remember. But I do know there was a time when we did bond, and I appreciated her instruction. And I learned some things. Isn't that amazing? It is. It says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. In this life, we need to be instructed, and we shouldn't be too proud to receive it. And we shouldn't be too proud to ask for help when we need it. He that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now, no one likes to be corrected. I mean, it's not a natural thing to love correction. But we should realize that, especially from the Lord, it's for our own good. I've been pulled over by state troopers for going too fast. Anybody ever? Well, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Anybody going to come? The person that pulled you over, he was a state trooper.
May have been. And I said, I didn't know that I was going too fast. I didn't know that that was what the speed limit was. And you know what he said? I'll never forget it. He said, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Ooh, that hurt. He hit me right there in the billfold. I remember that. I got some instruction, preacher. I really didn't. I wasn't looking for it, but I received it, and I think it's helped me since then. I really do. But when we're thinking about the Lord, oh, we must listen to the Lord. Don't ignore the reproof of the Lord. Don't ignore reading your word. That's why I say read a proverb every day. Read the Bible through every year. Read the word of God. It's going to tell us. It's going to reprove us. It is. It's going to correct us. A reproof is where we went wrong. It's like when we run a car off the road. A reproof tells us how we did it and why we did it. Correction tells us how to get back on the road, right? For correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so, reproof. He that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Then verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. We even looked at that one here within this chapter. Look at, if you would, back up to verse 12. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Verse 19 says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. You know, it's good to see the results of your hard work, isn't it? We're starting to eat some tomatoes that we planted earlier this year. And they're good. They're good. They're not, some of them's not that pretty, but they're good. And to see the results of that work is rewarding. One of the things working with my dad that I enjoyed, him a block and brick mason, was at the end of the day, you could see what you'd accomplished. You could see it. It was there. And so whenever we accomplish something, The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Well, what is it saying here, the contrast? Well, let's look at the verse. It says in Job chapter 28 and verse 28, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Abomination, the word abomination means it's a disgusting sin or something that's disgusting. Whether if it's an abomination to the Lord, it's talking about a disgusting sin. But if it's an abomination to the fools, then it's something that they look at and say, "Well, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what it takes." Did you know there's, and I'm not just talking about habitual criminals, there are habitual criminals in the world. They are. Some of them are in prison and some of them are not. But to a fool, there is such a, I don't know, there is a joy or a satisfaction that they get in doing that which is foolish. For example, I have a cousin that is doesn't know the Lord. He made a profession of faith, but I'm sure he doesn't know the Lord. Alcohol and drugs has just about destroyed his life. We lived next door to each other when we were teenagers, and I told you about the car ride that he gave to me back when he'd been drinking. I didn't know about it. I told you about that last week. He used to go into a store and shoplift, not because he needed what he got, but for the thrill. For the thrill of doing it, of stealing something like that. Apparently there's a thrill there. To me, the fear of getting caught overwhelmed any kind of a thrill. But I think that apparently there's something here that it can grow. And it does grow. And then comes robbery and you know, doing burglarizing and stuff like that. How is it that folks get into so much trouble? Why? Why do folks get into so much trouble? Do they not realize that it's trouble? Yes, they do, but they just don't. They think they can beat it. They think the thrill of the evil, the thrill of doing that which is wrong, the thrill of trying to, of getting away with something, is so powerful, apparently, that the foolish just dwell in it. It says it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Well, in Psalm 34, in verse 14, listen to this. This is what the Lord says to do. He says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Depart from it. Get as far away from it as you can. There's people today that want to, and I've used the illustration before, I'll do it again. They want to see how close they can get to the edge of the cliff without falling off. You know, young people want to do that. Oh, yeah. Let's see how close we can get to the edge of the cliff without falling off. Let's see how close we can get to that which would hurt us without being hurt. There's a thrill there, apparently. Why would you want to do that? The Lord says, get as far away from it, to abstain from all appearance of evil. Even if it looks evil, get away from it. It's what God says. So we're going to choose God's way? Yes. Not the fool's way, not the devil's way. Now if you would look at verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Iron sharpeneth iron, right? But there's also the concept and the understanding. Remember the three times in the book of Proverbs God says that there's safety in the multitude of counselors? There seems to be a very powerful, what's the word? Blessing. There is a blessing that's connected with being with God's people, wise people, those that can be a help and a blessing to us. There is, apparently in this verse, if you look at it, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." Wait a minute, doesn't it say that we're to ask for wisdom? It does. The book of James, and all through here it talks about wisdom comes from the Lord. So do I get wisdom from other wise men? Yes, I do. I do. Because I see God's blessing on them, and they, of course, it flows through them. It flows from God. It comes from God. But somebody is the channel of it. Isn't that wonderful? That God can actually use us or use someone else in our life to bless and to give wisdom to? Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Listen to this. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 63, he says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." He said, "I want to be with God's people. I feel most comfortable with God's people. I feel most comfortable with those who love the Lord." Because we identify with the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can have fellowship one with another. What does fellowship mean? Is it two fellows in a ship? Do you know two fellows in a ship might not be in fellowship? It would be to their advantage if they were, but they might not be. It means having something in common. The same Lord, the same God, the same Savior, and the Spirit bearing witness with one another. And we've all experienced that. We know what that is. But it says, being a companion, walking with a wise man. What with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." So what should we do? Did you know we're known by the company that we keep?
Yeah.
But we're also known by the company that we avoid. Did you know it's not wrong to avoid those that are not following the Lord or living for the Lord? And I'm not talking about avoiding in witness or spending time. The Lord Jesus spent time with those who were the sinners and the publicans, right? He did. He ate with them to get them the gospel, to help them. But who did he spend time fellowshipping with? Those disciples. He was with them, wasn't he? The Bible says. And that's where he spent his time. That was his people. That was his folks. Those that trusted him. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works." You know, there's people that say, you know, "I can be a Christian without going to church. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go. I can worship God out in the woods." You know, you can. It's a good thing if you go out and pray and get alone, and you can meet with the Lord by yourself. But doesn't the Bible say that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? What is the church? Is it this building? No, it's us. It's God's people. The emphasis. You read the message of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. It was a message to the churches. Local churches. This is where we grow. This is where we do what we accomplish God's will. It's a battery to charge us up. It's food for our soul. I'm talking about the fellowship of God's people. We should long for it. It shouldn't be something that we dread or wouldn't. Now, as I said, going to church never been convenient, but it's always been a blessing. I can't remember a time that I've ever went that I didn't. I'm not glad that I didn't go. I'm glad I went. You learn things here you wouldn't learn anywhere else. You get blessings here that you wouldn't get anywhere else. You get encouragement here that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And that's what church should be. Did you know that church should be the nearest thing to heaven on earth?
Yeah.
The nearest thing. God's people, God's folks meeting together. That's what it's saying here. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." I want to be around folks that know the Lord. Now, I know I have to be around those that don't. I understand that. And God gave me the ministry to work with many that don't know the Lord. And I understand that. I mean, it's part of the ministry, isn't it? You know, one preacher said, the ministry would be great if you didn't have to work with people. Amen. Well, yeah, it would be less nonsense to deal with, that's for sure. But that's where we get our blessing, is through one another. That's how God blesses, how God desires to perform and to establish his work to get the gospel out, is with the local church, with God's people serving him through the local church. And so we see here in this passage, and I want you, of course, to keep up reading with a proverb every day, one for every day of the month. But look at these and think about them and apply them to your life. And let's ask God together to help us to be more like him, to have more wisdom, and to walk in his ways. Let's bow our heads for prayer.